This is Quiet Fire, a program about the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln and its relevance to us today. Welcome. This is Duncan Newcomer. Here's a Lincoln quote for you. With rebellion thus sugar-coated, they have been drugging the public mind of their section for more than 30 years. That was about as far as Lincoln got when his print-setting reader said, "You can't use the metaphor sugar-coated. It doesn't sound presidential." But Lincoln prevailed, and his opinion was that the public mind of the South had been drugged by sugar-coated news and speeches for a long time. And that, quote, remained in his address to Congress in December of 1861. He argued defiantly that there would never be a time in American history when readers of this speech would not know exactly what he meant when he said that the South had their public mind drugged with sugarcoating politicians and newspapers. There is a major historian on the Civil War at Princeton who has a chapter in his book called How Lincoln Won the War with Metaphors. His metaphor, sugarcoating, was not abstract nor platitude, as so much Southern rhetoric was. It was exact, persuasive, and to the point. Maybe Lincoln should have used metaphor and symbol and dramatic speech and ritual more and more. He used ritual in proclaiming Thanksgiving as a national holiday to go along with the 4th of July and George Washington's birthday, only those 3 days then. But his limits were rational and his method was logical. And he did not like Southern emotional motivations, religious or secular. He rejected the emotional life and language of frontier religion. Rather, he read a Presbyterian theology book written by a Scottish-educated minister. As much as Lincoln liked energetic preaching, it was more opera for him than faith. Now, as we are looking at Lincoln's genius at finding ways to combine both sacred religious traditions in America and secular ones, we have to admit that, like any of us, he was not a wholly balanced person. Open emotions, the life of the expressive heart, the song and dance side of life, eluded him. Lincoln was poetic, but not lyric. He knew his heart mainly in sorrow and melancholy, and those are hard themes to translate into political language. That is still our challenge. For political motivation, Lincoln's life was defined by the rituals of his time. His political handlers invented the visual images of the log cabin and the rail splitter frontiersman, and they brought in real logs and split rails to the political convention in Chicago, where he was nominated not as the wealthy railroad lawyer that he was, but the log cabin honest rail splitter, which he also was. Those were his emotional images of political persuasion, Honest Abe for president. Such rituals are the places where the heart becomes public and the myths and stories of history become the lifeblood of virtue and sacrifice, completing the scope of the spiritual life. In ritual and in symbol, in myth and in story, Lincoln, and even more so we too, in our hearts, can be lighted down in honor, even to the latest generation. This is Duncan Newcomer, and this has been Quiet Fire, the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln.